Welcome in. This is the Music Student Podcast. Thank you as always for giving this episode and the show a listen today, everybody. If you have not already, please go check out my website, nolanweibelmusic.com. I have some really fun shows in Baton Rouge and in New Orleans coming up this month and next month. So please go check that out and everything else going on over at nolanweibelmusic.com. If you want to keep up with me on social media, you can do so at Nolan Weibel Music on Instagram. That's Nolan Weibel Music on Instagram. And lastly, if you're enjoying the little guest lecture series I have going on the podcast, you can check out the bonus episodes of that and all the other goodies over at patreon.com. You get access to everything, including those bonus episodes, for as little as $1 a month. That's patreon.com/themusicstudentpodcast. All right, everybody. So today I have a really fun topic I want to dive into, and I hope you're all doing well out there. We're kind of at that point in the year where if you're a actual student, like in college or even in high school or anything like that, the year's starting to wind down or starting to really be over for you college students out there. And it's a good time to kind of reflect and take stock and look ahead. And my next couple episodes, I think, will kind of be in that type of theme or vein. So I thought today I would talk about recitals. This is something that I don't think I've talked a ton about in the show before, and I know that a lot of you are probably done your recitals. I know recital season's kind of ending, though some of you might have some summer stuff or, you know, maybe some summer music camps where maybe you'll be doing some performing or things like that. But I kind of intentionally had this recital episode a little bit after recital season to kind of reflect a little bit. Just to give you like some of my own personal backstory, I did recitals pretty much for all of my degrees. I did two in my undergrad, did one in my master's, and then I've done three now in my doctorate with another one I'm planning for the fall. And recitals have always been a really tricky thing for me. It took me a little while to, I feel like, start having some tangible success with them. And I think it really wasn't until I did a few of them and then just thought about, you know, my process for it and how I worked toward them that I started having more success. So really it wasn't until I kind of slowed down, really nitpicked how I went about it, and then, you know, analyzed the results where I was like, okay, I think this is why they're going this way. And I just wanted to share some thoughts about those today. And I have three main ways I'm going to do that. So without any further ado, I'm going to talk to you three ways that you can have some better recital success. So point number one is plan ahead. This may seem like an obvious one, and a lot of my first points are usually pretty obvious, but I think, again, if you started asking around and talking to friends, colleagues, professionals about what they do when they're working on recitals, planning ahead is just an essential one. And it's one of those things, if you don't do it, I think it can really make or break your recital progress and your recital success. So my rule of thumb that I've gotten to now is I'm always working kind of a quarter or a semester ahead of a recital. So if you're a student, I like to use semesters because, I mean, that kind of works for the academic recital thing. But in terms of quarters, like at least 3 months to 6 months ahead, so that's one or two quarters is how I think about it, or 4 months if we're really doing it in true, like, you know, if you're doing like three quarters that way, it doesn't really matter. But so to give a good example, like let's say you have a recital coming up in the fall, I would have, you know, in a perfect scenario, have picked that music like right now in the end of the spring, and I'm working on it in the summer, so by the fall it's ready. So if my recital is in September, I probably would have picked that music in March or April, started working on it in May. So I'm really working on it from May, June, July, and August, and then September we're ready to go. Now, that's a really long process, but if you're a student, I mean, that's the type of time that we have in some ways. And no, I know we're all busy and we may not like literally have all that time, but I'm giving myself extra time because I know things will get busy. I know summer, there's, you know, gigs, there's vacations, there's a lot of, you know, maybe family obligations. The spring is usually pretty busy too. And then, you know, you're always, there's that beginning of the semester craziness in August. So give yourself the time if you have it. So that's why my music is picked in the spring and I'm working on it by May or June. I'm already working on that material. So I know it seems early, but that's kind of the way I think ahead for this. So whether you're in school or out of school, like that type of, you know, planning ahead is what I do. So it's really anywhere from like 3 to 6 months, if not more, I'm planning ahead for what I want to do for a recital. So that's kind of how I think about that in terms of the repertoire. The other thing that's important to plan ahead for is logistics. This is something I think people leave out a lot. And it's one of those things, if you've got a head on it, it can really just save you some extra stress. So if you know you're going to have to do program notes for this hypothetical recital in the fall, do them now. Write up your program now. Get your program together. This is the order of the pieces you're thinking. This is who's playing on the recital. Have you asked those people, booked those people, and then write some program notes for it? This is something that, at least for me, I think is a lot of work, and it really doesn't take that much time. It's like a day of work. It's like you could sit down and for a few hours, do some research, write out some good program notes, make your program look nice. Just pick a day during an easy week in the summer and just do that. Or it's even something you can do if you go on a vacation, bring your laptop and just start typing and make that happen. The other logistics you want to get ahead of too that I like to is make sure all like the little things are booked. Like if you have to book a dress rehearsal, book that now. Book the musicians for it. Don't wait around. Like even if it's way out, just say, hey, I know this is far out, but can you hold this in your calendar? So things like that I think can really make a difference. The last little thing I want to mention here in this planning ahead is having a really detailed practice plan. There are some people out there that have some great approaches and even some like programs that you can buy that are great. I love Ryan Beach's The Gold Method. I think it's really, really efficient for having a detailed plan for things like fundamentals and excerpts and solo rep as well. I've used it myself. I really think it's fantastic. You can definitely do something like that on your own, but if you don't feel like that's a skill that you're very good at or you haven't done that much, you know, something like his, I'm kind of promoting his because his is one I've actually used. But, you know, signing up for something like the Gold Method is a great way to structure your practice. And, you know, the way he does it is it's, you know, it's going to shoot out a little method for you. Like you're going to work on this piece, these bars, this many times, this many reps a day for this many days a week. Now, again, you could just plan that out yourself. But again, if you feel like you're not super well versed in that, there are programs like the Gold Method or, and there's other ones out there too, I'm sure, that you could use. So just having a clear idea of what you want to work on. And I'll tell you, as speaking to my fellow procrastinators out there, and I am the leader of that pack in many ways, it doesn't always have to be diving right into the hardest thing you're working on. Like I will tell you, of all the repertoire I pick, if there's something I really want to play, I usually start working on that first, just because I like to get myself in the habit of working on something. I'm a very habit-oriented person, so if it's like, okay, I'm going to start working on this music, let's start with one of the pieces I'm most excited about. And maybe it's even the section that's not the hardest. Like, okay, we'll start with that. Then we'll go to something a little bit harder. So I think this is just a really important thing, not only to get yourself motivated and in the habit of working on the music, but it also sets the tone for how your recital is going to be. You want your recital to be fun, right? You want it to be a fun musical experience for you. I think I didn't focus on that enough when I was younger, and I don't think enough people like try and make their recital a stress-free, fun thing. I know like there is a lot of anxiety that can go into these recitals, but why? Why not try to make it like more, oh my gosh, this is performing, I love performing, let's make this fun. You know, start with the music you really enjoy or just enjoy the most and start there. And like get off to like the right foot, get off to a good start with how you're working on all the things for your recital. So obviously planning ahead is super important, both from like a logistical, like clearing out all the cobwebs and the stress that go into it, and just giving yourself like some peace of mind. So I think it's really important. And lastly, like I just said, it can help you get in more of like a positive, happy state of mind when you're thinking about your recital in general. Don't give it a negative connotation. Give your recital a fun, positive connotation in your brain. So it's not like, oh, this thing coming up. Like, no, it's something you're now hopefully looking forward to. So that's point number one, everybody, plan ahead. Moving on now to point number two. Point number two is pick attainable music. Now, you don't want everything to be super easy, but I think in general, as especially music students in college, we get in the habit of picking rep or working with our professors to pick rep. That is something that like we're working towards, which is great. Like you want to have goals and things that are going to advance your playing, but I think it's essential in every recital, no matter what level, to have at least one thing that's kind of in your wheelhouse or something you are good at, something that's not crazy hard per se. And I think this is just important for a lot of reasons. Again, kind of coupling off that point I just made about having a positive connotation, you don't want everything in your recital to feel like you're climbing this mountain that you've never climbed before and you don't know if you're going to get over it. You want to have some things that make you sound really, really good and things that you feel like you sound your best on. I think especially for graduate students, this is really important because, first of all, we have hopefully some more experience playing repertoire. So maybe you can pick something that you've played before and, you know, you now have this opportunity to perform it better, which is really, really important. And second of all, like, it's good to get some good recordings of you. So this is maybe, again, a good opportunity to do that. And, you know, again, it's another way to have like a positive connotation with something. If every recital you've played is just rep that you've never really worked on or it's something that's pushing your technique to limit, it's going to be a little stressful. To kind of give you some backstory, I feel like that's how my undergrad recitals were. I had a junior and a senior recital, and pretty much all the pieces I played were stuff that, I guess with a couple exceptions. Maybe on my senior recital, there was like some jazz things I did that I felt like weren't crazy hard. But for the most part, everything else I played was like, okay, like, I've never done this before. Like, can I do this? And that's why it was hard. Like, your first recitals, you know, if you've never done it before, it's all going to be new. So, you know, that's usually how that goes anyway. But, you know, there's definitely some things like I could have done. Like, maybe I could have picked a piece I played from a jury my freshman or sophomore year and performed that as opposed to doing all new works. So, or new repertoire to me, that is. So I just think no matter what level you are, just having some stuff that gives you some confidence. You can see the words I'm kind of using here, things like positive connotation, giving yourself some confidence. It's just giving you the opportunity to feel a little bit more comfortable. And again, I'm not saying that you should pick like everything like grade 3 level solos that you're just going to cruise through, but just having some things on there that are going to give you some confidence that you're going to sound really good on and make this a positive experience, I think is a huge, huge, huge key to recitals. So some literal ways you can do that. I've mentioned a couple, but just to kind of give some clarity to them. If you're a graduate student, I think it's pretty simple. Play a piece that you played in your undergrad or pick a piece that you've played before that's in your wheelhouse. As a trumpet player, I just played the first movement of the Kennan on a recital. Now, you know, I think the Kennan's a good piece. I don't think it's like easy, but I don't think it's like a typically hard thing for a graduate level trumpet player to play, but I played it because I did play it on a jury in my undergrad, and I think that kind of style of solo suits my playing pretty well, and I wanted something to open the recital with that I felt good about, that I thought I would sound really good on, and, you know, to be honest, I thought I could get a good recording of, too, and I just thought, I'm like, you know what, let's put something on there like that, that feels good, and that'll be good for me that way. So, you know, nothing wrong with that. So that's a very tangible way to do this as a graduate student. Undergrads, like I said, it's a little bit harder. Like my first recitals, I don't blame anyone or myself because like I hadn't done recitals before. But one thing I didn't think of, you know, you can take a piece you did on a freshman or sophomore jury, or maybe even a piece you auditioned with for college, with college auditions, and do that on your first, you know, recital. Maybe you give a junior or senior recital and you play a piece that you worked on like that, like at the end of high school, or you played on like a freshman or sophomore jury. One last little piece, especially for my undergrad friends out there, that I think is helpful and something I wish I did, give a recital earlier than you have to. I had to do a junior and a senior recital for the performance degree, but a lot of my friends did recitals as sophomores. So there were performance majors who gave recitals as sophomores, and definitely something I wish I did. I probably didn't really have my playing at a point where I wanted it to at that time, but I think just getting that one out of the way would have been really, really good for me. So don't be afraid to push yourself and do something, you know, a little bit earlier than you expect. I think, you know, that might be a high goal for some people out there, but I think it's one that can really help you out in the long run. So that's point number 2, pick some attainable rep for your recital. Point number three is keep a balanced routine. I would say of all these points, this is the one that's helped me the most right now in my life. When I say keep a balanced routine, I really mean in terms of trumpet playing and in your like personal life as well. But let's start with the playing. I defaulted to trumpet playing because if you haven't picked up, I'm a trumpet player. But for anyone out there, it does not matter your instrument or what you're doing. You want to keep like your routine. So what do I mean by routine? When I think of routine, I'm thinking about the things that I do every day that keep me a healthy, in shape musician. So things like warming up, warming down, and emphasis on fundamentals. So I think there's like this music school trap when your recital or jury comes up, we only are practicing that rep because we're cramming or we're like really trying to like clean things up before the big day, and we lose our routine. And for me, especially to my brass playing friends, I think, you know, if you're not doing things like your consistent warm up and a warm down, it really throws you in a loop and out of shape. And it's just not a place where you want to be. So just trying to be disciplined and due diligent about staying on those things, I think is really, really important. The other thing I found that helped me a lot with a recital I gave recently was I was really consistent about my fundamentals practice the first half of this year. It's something that I've not been good about, especially in the spring, like, you know, coming into like a spring semester. There's just something about getting, when I get to March and April, I know that's when my gigs pick up a lot, but I usually have a recital then too. I just have a lot of playing obligations at that time of the year, like March, April, May. And I lose time or focus for like my fundamentals. And I really made a point this past year. I'm like, I'm sticking to this. I really want to make sure I get these in. It's super important. I work on this. And I think it really helped me for my recital. And it doesn't matter what your instrument is. I think making sure you're addressing all the fundamental aspects of your instrument every day just make you feel more in shape. It's kind of like physically too. It's like if you're not working out and if you're like eating like crap, your body feels bad. You feel tired, fatigued, and you just feel kind of lethargic. But if you know you're getting a little bit of exercise, 30 to 60 minutes, you're eating pretty well, you're not overdoing the calories, you just feel a little bit better. And if you go to do something like go to the gym or like, you know, run a mile or whatever it might be, you chances are you'll feel better if you're more in shape. Same thing as a musician. If you're addressing all your fundamentals, the things that are, you know, you might think are really hard technically in your piece, all of a sudden may not seem as so daunting because you're addressing them every day in your playing. And I think that's the key there, is by constantly dealing with things that are pushing you with your technique and your fundamentals, the rep that you've been working on that you might think is so difficult and scary is not going to feel that way. So I've mentioned a couple tangible things, but I just want to clear them up. Like warming up, warming down, hugely important, and hitting fundamentals every day. It's a non-negotiable, I think is really key. One last playing thing that I think it's important to mention that I find is really helpful. Play at different times of the day. I know depending on when I'm in school and out of school, there's times of day I get in the habit of playing in, like warming up early in the morning, getting a lot of my fundamentals in early in the morning, and then a practice session in the afternoon. But like I'm never really playing like late at night. I'm usually only gigging then. But, you know, I had a recital that was at, I don't know, 3:30 or 4 p.m. But I would always practice my recital rep at like noon or 10:30, something like that. So, you know, maybe I'm just a superstitious person. I'm really a creature of habit, but you know, the first couple times I had to do like a jury performance or recital that was at like really late or like in the evening, it kind of threw me off a little bit. Cause I was like, oh, do I warm up? When do I warm up? When do I do that? How much do I practice that day? That stuff really psyched me out. So especially if you're giving your first recital or you've only given a couple, one thing that's cool to do, I like to do this like the month before recital. Just pick two or three days out of the week where you can run portions of your recital at different times. So, you know, do your closing piece at 10:30 in the morning. Then 2 days later, do your opening piece at like 4 in the evening, just randomly, and mix up how much you've played that day. If you're someone that, you know, especially for like brass players, this is really important. Just adding variety so that, you know, nothing feels unfamiliar. You know, you don't have to get, I guess, too extreme. Like, you're not going to have a recital at 7 in the morning. But, you know, just running parts of your material and your repertoire anywhere between, I don't know, 9 or 10 a.m. and, like, 8 or 9 in the evening. Just, you know, throw yourself a curveball so that, you know, nothing feels too strange or uncomfortable when you get to the recital. And there's a lot of, like, I could go down a whole rabbit hole here. You can do it in, like, different rooms, different halls. You could like wear the clothes for your recital, change the temperature of the room. I know this all might sound silly, but how many people do you know? I know a bunch of them that like they get to recital and goes, oh man, I could not believe how hot it was on stage, or you know, I was really cold in the dressing room, then it was hot out there, or vice versa. I was, you know, really weirded out by like how much my sound was bouncing back at me. The room felt weird. I felt like I was overblowing, whatever it might be. There's a million different things we come off a performance and like, wow, this was crazy. So try and prepare for those things as much as you can. And again, I know I might be going a little overboard here, but, you know, I think if you experiment with some of these, you're just going to feel a little bit more comfortable. And that's just what I try to do. Like, try to make yourself 5 to 10% more prepared and more comfortable for that situation so that when you get there, it can go 5 to 10% better. And I think if you have any experience doing this, you all know having something go 5 to 10% better is a big deal. And how many of us like look back at performance and say, man, if I just got that one thing, or if I had just done this, just done that, how much happier would we be with something? So just something to think about. I know it's a lot of information. I want to make one last little point with this is that I mentioned feeling like personally in a good routine too. You want to make sure that like your mental and physical health is at a good spot when you're performing. I think a lot of us as performers have been keeping an eye on just kind of like the general talking points going on in society about mental health and the state of mind we're in when we go to perform. And I think that's really good. It's really important. And we all have our own unique things that we do or we have to do to feel successful going into performance. But I'm just kind of putting a little tidbit in here of like, make sure you're doing them. You know, if you're someone that likes a regular exercise routine, if you're someone that likes to do yoga in the morning or, you know, has like a little like ritual or tradition before or after you play, like do that. Like have your things that make you feel grounded. It can be anything. I know I have some friends that are really into meditation. Some people do yoga. Some people do like, you know, different breathing routines and patterns or whatever it might be. Make sure you're consistent about them and don't stray from them just because things might feel a little overwhelming and stressful. Keep yourself grounded. Keep your routines as a person, you know, and feel free to talk to people about it too. I love talking to my friends and colleagues about what they like to do to get themselves in a performance mindset and what makes them feel like holistic or what makes them feel comfortable and prepared and under stress or, you know, high pressure situations. I think it's really great to collaborate with people and, you know, pick ideas off of people. I love doing that. So I'm just kind of saying all this to make sure you're consistent with yourself, not only in terms of your music making and your fundamental work on your instrument, but as you know, in your personal life well, because I think it all matters. So that's it for point number three in terms of keeping a balanced routine. So let's review these three points here, everybody. Point number one is planning ahead. Again, simple and something that I'm sure you've all heard, but in terms of logistics and repertoire, you know, it's just better to be prepared than otherwise. Point number two is pick some attainable music. Not everything has to be super easy. Not everything has to be super hard, but at least having one little nugget for yourself that's going to help you sound your best and make you feel a bit more positive and, you know, encouraged and feel good about your recital can really make the difference. So have something on there you really feel good about, you know, right out of the gate. And finally, point number three is keep a balanced routine. Like I said, in terms of your music making, fundamentals, and in your personal life, keep things grounded. Keep things balanced. Try not to ride the waves too high and too low. Try and keep things pretty even so you're in a place where you can have a very, very successful performance. So I hopefully you found some of these points helpful, everybody. And like I said, I'm sure a lot of you have already given your recitals for the spring. But, you know, you never know. Maybe some of you have some stuff coming up in the summer. But, you know, I hope at the very least this will give you, like, maybe a way to, like, kind of have, like, a checklist to look back on your performances and to look ahead to how can you make something more successful or how can you put yourself in a position to have more success in the future. So like I said, as always, if you want to reach out to me and talk about this, please do so at nolanweibelmusic@gmail.com. Hope you found some of this helpful, and I hope you are all having a great spring. All right, everybody, I will see you all next time.